So I had to travel to America for emergency reasons, and I'm back now. So audio quality back to normal, guys.
Oh, restored. Nice. Very nice. Very good. Sounds so much better.
It's better when I yell now, because last week I got shouty and I was like clipping. I don't know how you edited that like episode.
It hurt really bad. And then also like because of the way Zoom works, like it overlaid our voices over it. So I had to cut us out. I don't know why. I'm talking about this. This is.
Well, yeah, I was fortunate enough to spend some time in LA, in good old LA. And me and Jake normally go there like most Januaries. But he couldn't go this time round.
Banned. I'm an English swine and they won't let me in because I've not got American residency or citizenship and I'm not there for business purposes.
He's been so jealous. Like when I was calling him to say hi, like he would be there frowning, like upset.
Like. just, get lonely when
he you... just hears like the Beach Boys off in the background and he's just like sees palm trees and he's like...
It wasn't even that. I became as mad as Brian Wilson and started eating a birthday cake every day just
He's
to
like,
stay.
I will not smile. That's not happening.
Well, there wasn't really much to be jealous about because everywhere was so dead. Like I've never seen LA like that before. Like a fucking ghost town. Like legitimately, like completely empty on certain days. Like no traffic. Well, there was some traffic, but there wasn't like chock-a-block traffic like everywhere as there usually is. Like it's pretty severe.
Why do you think everyone's left, mate? Rogan's gone, Dylan's out in the fucking desert. Like everyone's announced their depart in LA, haven't they?
So you can see it though. You can see the fucking, because there are loads of, I saw a lot of empty properties, you know, just it wasn't the same at all. It was good because I got to eat a lot of like fucking In-N-Out burger. I'm sorry to...
Oh my fucking God, In-N-Out Burger is so good.
So good. So good.
That's the only thing that's worth anything in Los Angeles, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that place so much. But In-N-Out Burger, I do not like being out there. Whenever I've been
You don't
out
like
there,
New York? Always, you don't like Los Angeles? What's wrong with you?
I'm just one of these like bumpkins. Like you can't get me out of the... You can take me out of the country, but you can't take the country out of me.
So I like... At the time, I was polishing off a couple of Vaporwave EPs, and I barely had to edit one of the photos for one of the backgrounds of one of the albums. Because it was literally just, oh, yep, that's spot on. Literally the natural light, the amount of red, just the way the sun hits that place is kind of fucking crazy.
I mean, it's a cool looking place. I just hate being there, except for the In-N-Out, which I will eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
When I like lived in America, I was like suffering on the East Coast. Lo and behold, there was a whole West Coast with like beaches and crystals and witch shops where bougie white ladies like give you really expensive tarot decks and, you know, fucking yoga studios. Like,
and they tell you, quote unquote, what's going to happen in the future.
Exactly. If I had to fucking live anywhere, I would definitely fucking, if I had to live anywhere in America, it would be not necessarily LA, but like California, like as a state.
California,
Peter, if I have got any decent judgment on your tastes, I reckon that you would change your mind about LA when we took you to Cantor's Deli. Yes. Like that place.
Oh yeah,
like
probably some... if you get me in somewhere that's a deli, that's probably a different.
It's like
situation.
An old school Jewish deli that is Seth Rogen and a bunch of people like hang out at all the time. Apparently, it's fucking chill. And we went there, and the food is fucking bomb. It's so.
I'll take a sandwich. That sounds good.
Yeah, it's definitely. It's like one of those like comedy legend spots as well. You just got to visit.
One thing that I did get overexcited about is because of COVID, all the retailers are now desperate. So a bunch of them are doing like 60% off sales and it's in dollars as well. So everything was just like fucking dirt cheap and just like fucking nice. And then I got to go to the beach, which was nice, but there wasn't a whole lot to do, honestly. And it was kind of depressing to see a big bustling kind of city of dreams or city of angels or whatever, like all dead. But it's the same everywhere. Like London's even fucking worse because I had to go to Central. Where was it again? It was Regent Street. I had to go to Regent Street to get a COVID test before I could get on the plane and literally looked like the scene out of 28 Days Later. And I was like Cillian Murphy and I just woken up and I'm like, where is everybody?
Just off in the back of your head.
Where's the...
Yeah, everywhere is dead right now, and it's sad. It's fucking sad. And airports too, like the plane was so empty. Like I had a whole row to myself, and you could like hear like nothing but like farts and a couple of people like snoring or whatever. And like the airports were totally fucking ghost town, like central. And then they check your temperature at like every check. Like airport security was bad post 9/11. Post COVID, not only are they checking up your asshole for bombs, they're also fucking taking your temperature.
And asking for tips because everyone's struggling.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Tipping culture is expanding out to the travel services these days.
It's the hustle. You have to refer to it as the hustle. Like, I put this up your ass. You can give me some cash, right? You can give me some cash.
I only half pat you down. I don't know what's going on in there.
They hand out their OnlyFans card after they take your ass temperature.
Oh, dear.
You like the way I pat down your ass? I've got my OnlyFans ready right here.
All these TSA agents fucking pushing their OnlyFans. Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine that?
That would be...
What's sad is I can.
I can. Everything that we've said that was ridiculous has come to pass. Well, speaking of tipping, if you'd like to give us just the tip, go to Low Society's Patreon.
Well, if you just want the tip, then come in at $2 and you get some banter with us and everyone on the Discords.
Yeah, the Discord's good too.
$5, you get your boner episodes, which are
the Boner Society.
Boner Society.
And if you want the full D, join the parasocial tier in order to be featured on the show. The last parasocial person, our first ever parasocial patron, we emailed them to reach out to them to ask them if they wanted to, but they said that they just wanted to be kind and help us towards our microphone purchase. So a big thank you to WikiFeet Admin for being our first parasocial Patreon. So here's my personal thank you, Jake.
Thank you very much, WikiFeet Admin. Obviously, you can circle around and like you can come and make a little guestie on the show anytime you want.
You can sing California Girls better than I can.
Whatever you want. We're here for it. So just give us a shout and you're more than welcome.
And if you want to become a parasocial patron and talk to us on the show, then feel free to join that tier. We're available on Twitter. We got YouTube. We got lowsociety.net.
Lowsociety.net. Get your vitamins and your nutriums and your apocalypse shelters.
We actually have another 3 people that have joined the parasocial tier.
No shit.
But thank you very much to Thomas Brooks, Evan Heimbor. You can include how high my voice went in that as well. Anti-Infantry, thank you very much. You fucking stellar.
Wow.
Stellar, super cool peeps. And yeah.
Thank you so much for helping us get closer to our new microphone goal. We'll be reaching out to all of you to get you a little slot on the show. So now that the housekeeping is over, Peter has been doing some Alex Jones style investigations.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
QAnon. Do you want to spill the tea?
So this is some crazy shit as far as I'm concerned. There is apparently a possibility that this Reuters report, which came out in November of 2020, has actually linked QAnon to the FBI as an actual PSYOP, not like theoretical PSYOP. Reuters reported back in November that the very first social media accounts that promoted QAnon were quote unquote linked to Russia and backed by the Russian government. And a British investigator named David J. Blake, he was able to conclusively show at the technical level that the Russian hacking operation was a PSYOP run by the FBI and the FBI cybersecurity contractors like CrowdStrike and a couple of others, which indicates that there's a very strong possibility that given that QAnon was a quote-unquote Russian hoax, and these quote-unquote Russian hoaxes are actually FBI psyops, that it is under the umbrella of that operation. Which, I mean, that really has some very specific implications as to, like, not only the last week, but like a lot of the last several years.
The thing that's super interesting to me about this is it sort of feeds into what I've been talking about as the war of all against all. And I feel like that's the whole sort of ethos behind these sort of weird little operations that go on beneath the surface of like politics. I don't think that they particularly care about what your ideology is, just so long as they keep us fighting each other and they keep stoking the flames of culture war and these sort of, and we're actually seeing culture war now bleed out into the streets. We're mm-hmm. seeing it obfuscate all notions of collective good. And we're also seeing it manufacture consent for more authoritarian control in the same way sort of terrorists were, or, you know, the Islamic world was used as a cipher for the things that were passed after 9/11. Now fringe ideological groupings are the new kind of boogeyman du jour. And that's kind of why I think this stuff is going on beneath the surface. What's your theories?
I would say one of the interesting things about that specifically, The Intercept just got a hold of all this leaked information that showed what happened last week. Like the entire intelligence community knew was going to happen for like a month. And the groups that they warned were going to be involved were all over. Like they warned that Antifa would be involved. They warned that there would be left-wing NGOs that would be involved. Like it was a much broader like political spectrum they estimated was going to be involved in this sort of unrest that would happen. And to me, that really adds your point, this idea of all against all. Because on this exact same list of like suspected involvement was also your Boogaloo Boys, your several right-wing NGOs, along those lines. So like, I mean, in my opinion, not only it really paints what happened last week as at very least something they knew was going to happen and therefore reacted in a way that they had planned weeks ahead of time in order to set up their Patriot Act 2.0 bullshit. But also, this all against all, like there's a lot there just in this these leaked documents that kind of confirms this idea that they want all of these groups involved in some sort of conflict in the Capitol, because they intentionally set up so that they wouldn't be stopping this stuff. They let these people in. And I think they wanted to let more than just these, you know, right-wing NGOs that bust all these Trump people. Mm-hmm. I think they wanted to let more people in. I think they wanted this to be much more of a chaotic thing.
Well, so my question is that if that's all been sort of linked to that, Trump is sort of obviously being impeached for inciting this event, but actually through this event happening and whatever, and his basically means that he can't run again for the Republicans, essentially. So it's kind of more of a political maneuver. And so to me, it kind of, it's maybe his ending that he's agreed and written with the fucking liberal establishment and said.
Oh, absolutely. Like, did you see that video where he came out?
No, I haven't actually watched that.
Oh my God. In terms of agreement.
Play a clip.
In terms of agreement for the liberal establishment, you're going to shit your ass over this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's the ending of, I know, but do you know what I mean? It's the ending of the film of Trump's presidency that he's
written
with
see this
Pelosi
clip.
And whoever else.
No, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you.
My fellow Americans, I want to speak to you tonight about the troubling events of the past week. As I have said, the incursion of the U.S. Capitol struck at the very heart of our republic. It angered and appalled millions of Americans across the political spectrum. I want to be very clear. I unequivocally condemn the violence that we saw last week. Violence and vandalism have absolutely no place in our country and no place in our movement. Making America great again has always been about defending the rule of law, supporting the men and women of law enforcement, and upholding our nation's most sacred traditions and values. Mob violence goes against everything I believe in and everything our movement stands for. No true supporter of mine could ever endorse political violence. No true supporter of mine could ever disrespect law enforcement or our great American flag. No true supporter of mine could ever threaten or harass their fellow Americans. If you do any of these things, you are not supporting our movement, you are attacking it, and you are attacking our country. We cannot tolerate it. Tragically, over the course of the past year, made so difficult because of COVID-19, we have seen political violence spiral out of control. We have seen too many riots, too many mobs, too many acts of intimidation and destruction. It must stop. Whether you are on the right or on the left, a Democrat or a Republican, there is never a justification for violence. No excuses, no exceptions. America is a nation of laws. Those who engaged in the attacks last week will be brought to justice.
What do you think about that shit?
The thin soy line egregore has possessed him, basically.
Yeah.
So your theory about it being a bookend is kind of compounded there.
Well, I mean, that doesn't sound like the Donny T that we
all... No, exactly.
And I mean, he must have...
He has been possessed by the state.
He must have been wiling out and almost encouraging the event. But I don't exactly know what he said to sort of incite the violence to actually then get impeached. But this is obviously like a complete 180 to that. And it definitely does compound my little theory there that this has all been a kind of orchestrated as a way of him looking like he was fighting something, but then still coming off as I'm respecting the presidency and coming down, never being able to partake in politics ever again. That's like his that was his cost, that he had to go, okay, fuck it, I'm not going to ever partake in politics ever again. But I'm still fucking Donald Trump, and I can still go off and fucking do whatever the fuck I want after that, outside of quote unquote outside of politics. Because even if he's not like a senator or whatever the fuck, he can still influence people massively from whatever the fuck he does afterwards. So it's just a way for him to secure himself after the presidency.
Here's the thing. He's literally saying all the actually fascist stuff there. Like, all of these people talk about how these people with no power are fascists and whatever. But, like, what you're talking about here is the law and order, like, fucking capitalist state coming down on the populace. That's what this is. And people, like, they don't understand that when they start talking about Patriot Act 2.0, they can come back to this fucking video and be like, see, even your man says, we gotta do this. This is the right thing to do.
Exactly. And that's the most pernicious aspect of this, is because people are legitimately cheering this on. They're cheering his capitulation to law and order, sort of authoritarianism, punching down on anything that's deemed fringe or populist.
Well, the left doesn't have any fucking idea how to react to this either.
No.
Just ignoring this video as if it doesn't fucking exist.
Exactly.
And they're just praising the fucking FBI and fucking...
They're celebrating censorship too, because that was another thing. Not only was he impeaches for doing an incitement, he was also kicked off of Twitter. And the grounds that Twitter chose to justify removing the president, and people were supporting a corporate entity taking that power away. They were celebrating corporate censorship. And if the corporations have enough power to remove the president, what the fuck do you think they're going to do to you?
Exactly. You think, here's the thing, like, Donald Trump has violated the terms of service on Twitter, like, through the years, like, repeatedly. They literally have terms of service so that when it's politically expedient to remove somebody, that's when they can apply it.
Exactly.
But they're not fucking real rules. They're just there as an excuse when they want to get rid of somebody when they're no longer fucking useful to them. And that's what Donald Trump is. He is not any longer useful to the capitalists. That's it.
Exactly. People say and do the most heinous fucking shit on Twitter. People tell people to kill them, especially if you're on the quote unquote right ideological side. Like, there's no one more filthy and machinating and evil than like blue checkmark libs. But because they're politically expedient, the terms and services aren't really necessarily enforced for them, or they're enforced selectively. But when it comes to political opponents of this ideology, oh, you're banned, you're fucked up, you can fuck up. And it seems as if in all areas of the public sector, including abilities to gather, all of those different things, abilities to communicate online, everything that's considered the ideological fringes is now being pushed aside. And people now feel as if they have the moral mandate to push them aside and use corporate censorship or use the FBI. It's really, really fucking disturbing.
Well, you got nothing to worry about as long as you signal that you have the right virtues and that you're on the right side and you're a good boy or a good girl or whatever the fuck. Like, as long as you're doing the right stuff.
That's what I fucking did on my Twitter account.
That was hilarious.
Oh my God. I made one of those pit crew avatars of myself.
Yeah, the like non-binary AVI thing.
Yeah, I put up like all these fucking emojis. I changed my name to the Thin Blue Wave.
And like it was like a Biden-Harris poster or whatever. Yeah. I think that's what we should do. Like we all need to start appropriating like liberal signifiers so that they leave us alone. I changed my name to Angie Speaks Only Has Safe Opinions.
I'll just make my only Twitter account will be Judge Jake. And I'll just...
Oh my God. Like, if you register Judge Jake, holy fuck.
And every time I see someone doing something naughty, I'll just take a screen cap of it and just be like, insurrection, 5 years, maximum security.
Do it.
You have to Photoshop the helmet onto your head, though.
Onto your head, yes.
For the avatar.
Screw that. I'll buy a fucking helmet. They look awesome. That'll be a sick fucking Halloween costume as well.
No.
We started the Judge Dredd role play.
Actually, I'd be kind of into that. I'd be into it. I wouldn't mind that. But yeah, it was pretty intense how quickly everyone's principles went out of the window, if there were any to begin with. And
clearly,
people have been celebrating corporate censorship like crazy, and people have been dropping like flies too. In even within our little like weird like milieu of people who we like and listen to and talk, so many people have like fucking just been yeeted off the platform. Like I know that Red Scare, their entire podcast was like fucking yeeted, and then I think Anna Kachian had to deactivate a bunch of people. There were some BDS accounts that fucking got yeeted. There was some fucking anti-war accounts that got yeeted. Loads of like weird, like left-wing political, like union type people who just fucking got yeeted. Like, so it's been like a complete sort of wiping out, and everyone feels precarious and everyone feels really sort of on edge about it.
BDS, it seems a little bit extreme for liking a Korean pop group, you know?
It's BTS. You're thinking of BTS, Jake.
It sounds very close, which was...
Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions is BDS. Also is pro...
It's actually a very serious issue, Jake. We're not making K-pop jokes about this, okay?
You're making dad jokes. Yeah, it was very crazy. It's been an insane like week, and everyone's been feeling very sort of precarious and on edge, especially because the libs are on their little like thin soy line like war path against anything that sort of stands in the way of their consensus at the moment. And they're feeling emboldened by the Biden victory, by the legislation. Jake has this really megalomaniacal look in his eye. Like,
it's like, if you don't like BTS, you're going in the fucking labor camps. You hear me? I'm so passionate about this. Like,
you are getting your account removed from Twitter. You are going to a labor camp and you are going to change your fucking opinion on this goddamn K-pop group. Or else.
Who is your favorite member? If you cannot tell me now, you will be sentenced. It is that simple.
That's the thing. That's my worst fear, is that some soy like Antifa super soldier is gonna like kick down my door at 2 a.m. and arrest me for public
they're gonna stop wearing the like face bandanas and start wearing the Judge Dredd helmets. Like, that's gonna be the Antifa.
It's gonna be a complete mask on moment for them.
Mask
for sure.
On, yes.
we made that joke with liberal Batman in my Joker video, the Why I'd Rather Talk. We made that joke about libs being police and calling, and it literally has become, and people, I remember people were like, oh, Angie, you're being hyperbolic, nobody's really like this. And it's like every trope,
they're not pro police. Yeah.
Every single fucking trope that we injected into liberal Batman in the fucking script has like come to pass, like more than we could have even fucking imagined. But yeah, I feel like there are a lot of people who may think that we're being hyperbolic, but and they think that we legitimately think that Antifa super soldiers are gonna, we think that they're gonna come and like kick down our doors and like cancel our Netflix and, you know, fucking give us
well,
a
you
scolding.
Know, Antifa being anti-fascist is simply finding like people that you deem fascist on Twitter and reporting them to the FBI and to Twitter. that's Antifa. That's what Antifa is.
Well, I mean, I did, you know, try to start a YouTube channel last year about doing movie critiques and stuff, but it was instantly taken down because I was critical of Crazy Rich Asians and all the Antifa cat people that had invaded Rotten Tomatoes had disagreed with my critique and they came and shut down my channel immediately. So I know Alex Jones's pain. I know Donald Trump's pain. I know how it is.
It runs a lot deeper than just sort of this culture war, because they only understand things in terms of culture war, not in terms of like the bigger societal picture, legislation, norms that get established. And those are the things that we're worried about by seeing people celebrating colluding with the FBI and censorious fucking mega corporations. A lot of the libs have been making the same sort of cynical argument of like, oh, all these people who are complaining about censorship are still in the public domain and they're just crying and whining. And it's like, it's not that simple.
Well, A, like, you can't get people out of the public domain. Like, that, you can't do that. That's why deplatforming doesn't work, you dumb
exactly.
assholes.
But B, as well, it's not as simple and cut and dry. Like, these companies aren't just going to out themselves by... you know, being overtly censorious. It usually happens with things like shadow bans or by slowing down traffic or all of these different methods that they use to sort of make the political ideologies that they dislike sort of circle the drain while really boosting and really sort of giving algorithmic payment to think the sort of content that they do approve of.
Attention is currency in the marketplace of ideas, dare say.
So, sometimes as well, I mean, it's a bit of a rare case, but it's for the good of the content. Like, I did used to occasionally watch InfoWars on YouTube, like, back in the day, like, many years ago. But then when you have to actually tune into InfoWars.net now and see how fucking mad Alex goes, like, with just the count, I feel like it was much more structured back in the day. He had a much more almost like anti-TYT kind of vibe. We're talking about 9/11 and shit, which is fucking great. But like, now it's literally like he's got 500 pieces of paper.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
he's got like hundreds of articles all in those black like office clips. You know what I mean? They're just everywhere. And like his beard is getting insane. He's shaving his head now. And
he'll
just
randomly
like, it's so
put
wonderful.
Like movie clips from like The Dark Crystal in there and like all these like other weird
and so I feel like the shackles of YouTube got unleashed from Alex Jones and he was really able to go lean fully into what InfoWars could be, and now it's just at its greatest time, I feel like.
Well, so. Now
and their profits are up. Let's
now
just,
the libs.
Let's say that their profits are fucking up.
Content is king. Content is king.
Content is king. But here's the thing: now the libs, because the libs have sort of noticed that podcasts or the podcasting world is like the major tool of quote unquote disinformation or whatever, and obviously, a lot of people, Marxists, other ideologies, whatever, have had to sort of go underground into the podcast milieu in order to be able to do what they need, they want, and say what they want freely. But now the libs have also started to jump on the podcast. It's now there's now a wave of these like lib kind of podcasts, and especially ones that are coming from BreadTube as well. They've now sort of caught on to it and are trying to sort of establish dominance within this mode as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of the censorious nature that we see on other platforms like YouTube and Twitter and all these other places started to happen within the podcast milieu as well. And it's annoying because as much as I hate their ideas and as much as their content is like a moral and aesthetic assault, I wouldn't want them to be censored. I wouldn't work to censor them. And
when you
like,
do that, you just like make them double down on stuff and get more extreme. Like, I don't get why the fuck people don't understand that. It's fucking insane.
Well, it's not exactly what I was expecting you to say, to be fair. I thought you were going to say, obviously, the libs have heard that podcasts are these massively uncensored places where people are just having honest conversations. And how dare we? We better round up the troops and get some podcast police in those audiences right now no. so we can make sure we can extract the clips to hold these people accountable for all the terrible things they say.
The thing is, a lot of the people who are at the helm, especially of the media stuff, are like highly college educated, like PR expert type of people. And they're not going to out... They're experts at using soft power and mm-hmm. sort of coercive mm-hmm. mechanisms and aligning themselves with sort of big tech in order to get rid of the things that... So it may be just done through deplatforming, but if it can't be done through straight up deplatforming, they'll find other mechanisms, whether mm-hmm. it be fucking you in the algorithm or mass reporting or any of the other sort of tactics that that me and Peter have experienced. Mostly mm-hmm. from the left. Like, I've not had any sort of issue because I remember they would say, oh, it's fascists that like mass report and do all this stuff. No, it's mostly like leftists who do that shit, especially in my experience.
Since making videos where I have explicitly targeted the neoliberal structure, the primary source mm-hmm, mm-hmm. of my like platform troubles has been mm-hmm. the left.
Same here. Same
because
here.
Because they're not, let's just say this, I mean, for the millionth time. The quote-unquote left is neoliberal. It's just a marketing demographic, and they're totally in support of big tech, of the capitalist state, of the intelligence community, et cetera, et cetera.
Big time. And that's the thing, because we don't outwardly violate shit, because we're generally like quite careful.
Because
we're smart and we're not, they're waiting for us to. But because we can't, but because we don't just like sort of egregiously violate anything, they have to resort to more covert tactics in order to sort of fuck with how we're platformed mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and our ability to. And it's been happening for years on my platform. It's been happening for years on Peter's platform and a milieu mm-hmm. of others who have been doing the same work. So the censorship goes far beyond just the big power move of removing someone's platform. It happens in a lot of other covert ways as well.
Well, you have people who think they're literally working in like the interest of like spreading gossip that are actually, for all intents and purposes, doing like anti-branding for your channel, which is in
exactly.
service of like
exactly.
a number of different institutions.
Exactly. The rumor mill is also a huge like tool in their arsenal. Mm-hmm. They've been, and that's the thing, it doesn't surprise me that they've been doing CIA working, that they're talking about working with the FBI and shit, because they've been behaving like COINTELPRO.
At least, to yeah, all at least dissident- some of them are. You know, yeah. Let's just be...
Like, oh, to all dissident portions of... That's the whole kind of the ethos of Mark Fisher's Vampire Castle essay, is the fact mm-hmm. that, you know, the punitive discourse, the identity as a weapon, the doxing, they've been acting as, like, a counterintelligence program.
They're COINTEL Uber.
Yeah, they're COINTEL Uber, basically. It's like that work has been... That power structure, like I said in the last episode, has been horizontalized. So you mm-hmm. can no longer necessarily point to an intelligence agency when the people have sort of been programmed by the mode to behave in those ways. So it doesn't surprise me that they would think that working with the FBI fights the fash, man, because all of the really fucked up tactics that they've been using for years, not to just to quell people on the far right, but to quell even people within their own milieus who do not play ball, is exactly what they're manifesting now publicly. Mm-hmm. It's that same urge. It's that same instinct. And I don't think that any sort of principled person who is engaging with the ideas of the left should be celebrating corporate censorship or colluding with intelligence agencies.
And the thing is, you have these people who, like, for all intents and purposes, have good views on this stuff. And they're like, well, I don't see that happening. And I don't understand. Like, I've had a number of people who are like, you know, I don't support the FBI. I don't support this, but I don't see leftists doing this. And it's like, well, you also aren't arguing that hard against these structures. You aren't being that critical in a manner where you have their defenders coming at you. And we are like,
it's easy for someone to sit there on their like little like non-engaged high horse. That shit pisses me off. It's like, you're not public, you're not vocal, you're not putting yourself in the line of fire. So of course you're not going to see the majority of what goes on behind the fucking scenes.
Yeah. Are you using your gifted and trusted platform to spread the information that the FBI is the actual fascists? No, you're not.
No, you're not. It's really frustrating. It's like, either like get involved or fuck off. Like, it's that simple. Yeah. Like, you're either doing the work or you're not doing the work. And if you're not doing the work, that's fine, but don't be in my way.
It's just part of the way they've been able to tie politics into being a virtuous person at the same time as it also being basically a fight for the fucking death. Like when you watch, I don't know if you saw it at all, Peter, but there was a channel that kind of popped up over 2020 that got quite a lot of attention called All Gas No Breaks. And he's this guy that basically went and interviewed all these people in these mad situations. So he went to like spring break at the beaches, obviously during quarantine, like lockdown and
stuff. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And like there was just a clip from that specific video actually that really like reminded me of what we're talking about. It was like when he goes and talks about this to this chick, she's like, I've got like a quarter of a million followers on TikTok. And he's like, oh, that's great. He's like, yeah, and if you're not fighting the good fight, then like, why are you like even doing it? Everyone should be like using their platforms for like a good message. And
that's who I'm making fun of when I say the gifted and trusted platform. I'm making fun of that person.
Exactly. But everybody has this like I don't know, even people like that. Like, she's obviously not like a bad meaning person. Like, she's obviously well meaning everything.
No, not at all.
That knows absolutely fucking nothing or like has anything to really contribute without being mean or like, you know, sounding harsh.
Yeah, well, she's repeating the things that people are telling her are good or bad. And that's what, like, using your gift of a platform, your entrusted platform, you're using your representation properly when you repeat the things that the establishment is specifically asking you to repeat.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It's people with no principles, people with no backbone, people who are morally weak in that regard. But here's another argument that I've heard made in justification of this whole mode. People have been saying things like, oh, well, you would call the FBI on a pedo. Would that be considered colluding with the FBI? You would call law enforcement for this. And my answer to that, I'll let you guys answer. My answer to that is I don't believe in reporting people for political reasons or political affiliations. I don't think like a pedophile like fucking presents an immediate and desperate harm. That's different from somebody who is on the opposite end of the political spectrum to you doing something stupid. I don't think that those people present an immediate harm that normal due process cannot take care of. Mm. It's not as if that's the thing. It's about due process. It's about having principles.
Well, and also I'm not being funny, but the FBI is used for like kind of big stuff. It's not used for like fucking Gary that would like got his dick out of the fucking children's playground.
That's definitely not how it's being used, though.
No, but do you know what I mean? Unless that was attached to a larger ring of men that were also doing a part of this massive scheme or whatever. Like, you go to the FBI when you've been trafficked to a billionaire's house and, like, you essentially feel like a sex slave or something like that. You're part of some fucking, do you know what I mean? Like, some bigger shit that's going on.
Like a big human trafficking ring thing.
Yeah,
everything going on in the ruling class where they're trafficking children and
exactly
all
the Epstein stuff. Like those women, absolutely, they couldn't have just gone to the regular police. They needed to have gone to the FBI because of the stature of the people involved.
Trying to make the argument that we're saying that one should never approach law enforcement for any reason ever, otherwise that means you're no true leftist, which is not the argument that we're trying to make. The point of the matter is when you're sort of having things codified into law that throw out due process, and when it's specifically going after people for political reasons, that's when it's an issue. Like, I would have the same problem if, you know, back in the day where people were reporting communists to FBIs because they thought communists, you know, posed an immediate threat.
That's what the Red Scare was.
Yeah, it was the whole Red Scare.
The Red Scare was.
Yeah. That they were opposed,
keep an eye on your neighbors, see if they got a hammer and sickle somewhere.
Yeah, like if they believed
we'll
back
have to find a basement to do this podcast in, because otherwise our neighbors will report us.
The Comet Ping Pong basement.
they believed back then that communists posed an immediate threat in the same way that these people now believe that people who are on the right wing or even LARPy fascists who have no fucking political power pose an immediate threat. And there's a difference between incidents of violence, like say a white supremacist was going to go and shoot up somewhere, which is sort of this sort of nihilistic act of desperation based on a stupid political ideology, than like organized fascists who have, you know, apparatus within the government helping them aim their, like, you know, achieve their aims. There's a big difference between those two things. And I don't think that people want to look at the difference and look at how responses should be proportional and how due process should be employed and how we shouldn't be colluding with law enforcement for political reasons. And for them, it's purely political. I mean, if the same thing happened, if you had people on the right wing reporting people who were at Black Lives Matter protests where they were literally burning down neighborhoods and doxing mm-hmm. them and getting their information to the FBI, one could argue that, yeah, they were doing vandalism and they were endangering the safety of the community. One could argue that and one could form a solid case. But is it right for us as a society to encourage people to turn their political opponents into law enforcement?
Well, yeah. And the thing is like with Black Lives Matter, before it was entirely subsumed by the NPO NGO structure, like when it was just unfocused anger being directed wherever, like that stuff is just an expression of like where we are as a society, where that community is. And like, if you weaponize the state apparatus against that, you're more or less saying that it is the state apparatus's responsibility to come in and dictate all of your local community affairs. I'm not saying that they're going to necessarily absolutely do that, but you're creating like a precedent where you want the state to handle all of this stuff for you. And the state is not interested in fucking helping in any way. They are as time passes, the capitalist state merges with capital more and more. Their interests are overlapping more and more, and they collaborate. And it's very much a situation in which capital and state authority are merging. And I don't know if people know this, but that's the definition of fascism. Do you want that dictating your community affairs? No, you're weaponizing the federal government against expression of political dissent. You don't want the federal government to be in the position to say, you know, you keep bringing us into this situation. You keep showing us that you're okay with us handling this. How about all of it is just fucking illegal? Like that's the way it goes, and if people don't understand that that's the fucking way it goes, that's what's gonna fucking happen. And it has nothing to do with left wing or right wing. That is bullshit. As far as the state does not give a fuck about what wing you are. They don't give a shit. And ideologically, sure, you can disagree with like people's positions on all of these ideological bigotries that exist. Sure. But you know what? You can have a conversation with somebody about that, and it's effective. Look at Daryl fucking Davis. He deconverted 200 people from the KKK since the 1970s. And how did he do that? Did he do that by fucking deplatforming them? Did he do it by fucking calling the police on them? Did he do it by fucking like committing violence against them? No. He fucking befriended them at local bars, at bowling alleys and shit, and he fucking talked to them. He talked to them.
It takes work and integrity and a certain aspect of selflessness. And these people are all ego. They're fucking bourgeois narcissists. And they want everything in society to sort of reflect them. And everything, and neoliberalism is sort of about the endless production of the self, especially in culture. It's about the endless production and perpetuation of the self. And that's really where their ethos lies.
Do you want to hear my edgiest take of 2021 so far?
Ooh, go on.
Let's hear it.
All the people that are actively working with law enforcement and making lists of people to report to FBI or whatever body of authority you think is going to do something are worse than most of the Nazis.
Yeah.
Because most of the German Nazi army and Nazi people were people that were not compliant and were actually had their lives at stake of having to do such things like write lists of people and do horrible things. Their lives were at fucking risk if they didn't do that. Mm-hmm. Whereas these people are just sort of doing it because they want political points or like whatever. So they're kind of worse than most Nazis. That's what.
Well, and here's the thing: you have those exact same people claim shit like, "Oh, I wouldn't have reported Jews in Nazi Germany." Bullshit, you wouldn't. You believe in that apparatus wholeheartedly, and you would have been a product of that state, and you would have been loyal to that state, and you would have fucking turned in every goddamn Jew. I don't give a shit.
Spineless. They're gutless and they're spineless.
Like my my great grandfather was part of the German army unwillingly. He obviously like wasn't a Nazi when you go down to ideology, but he was threatened to, with his livelihood and his family's livelihood, that they would all be killed and burned if they didn't join, and all the other fit young men in his family also joined. So that's the nature of things, you know. That's how fucking shit goes in the real world, and he didn't fucking give anyone's name up willingly. You know,
like these people are willingly employing that apparatus. They're willingly sort of thinking that they're being clever and reverse engineering authoritarianism against itself in order to create freedom.
Which,
and they're, yeah, ahead, I know.
I'm just that infuriates me. I just get so fucking pissed off at that.
It's so disgusting. And even then, like, it sort of like made me sort of critical of the whole kind of, what's his name, Umberto Eco, sort of definitions of fascism in that regard, because part of the reason why I don't think it's applicable in this day and age and stage is because the neoliberal order, it, you know, discrimination is bad. Like, you have Black Lives Matter being supported by fucking mega corporations. You have, you know, Twitter and, you know, all of these other companies getting behind what they deem as marginalized identities and all of this shit. Like,
bring up class in relation to that shit.
Yeah,
see
then
where
you're,
it goes.
You're,
see
yeah,
where
well,
it
you're,
fucking
yeah,
goes.
Exactly. But that's the thing is, like, discrimination in that sort of visceral way where people are being marched off to fucking camps and shit, that stuff is bad for capital. Unless it's obscured under layers and layers of sort of moral justification and bureaucracy.
Yeah, well, if it's not something that we see, if it's shit that got started in the Obama administration.
Exactly. It gets codified through a Black president.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's the way that the neoliberal order is like operating now. And you see how the sort of specter of fascism has been used as a tool to justify more control in society, because the only thing that's acting fascistic right now, really institutionally, is the neoliberal order. Mm-hmm. That's what poses the biggest threat. That's what everyone should be the most afraid of. But these people are like, no, the neoliberal order is inclusive. The neoliberal order respects my pronouns. The neoliberal order is my fucking shiny, shiny best friend that gives me Black girl magic. So why would I fucking not trust these measures, especially if they're keeping me away from the thinly veiled kind of threat, this sort of mirage, this specter of fascism? And that's why I'm incredibly skeptical, especially the way that it's thrown around so willy-nilly, mm-hmm. and the way that people, it's sort of a psyop in and of itself. It's mm-hmm. it's pulled the wool over people's eyes and made them really sort of accept a lot of bullshit. And I know, I mean, especially now that Trump is out of office, they're going to have to create, you know, another specter to chase,
mm-hmm.
another sort of specter of fascism to chase. And I'm sure that something worse, we're going to see a lot worse events than what we saw, you know, in the uprising that happened at the Capitol. Something else is going to happen. And it's going to be something that we would have a very difficult time criticizing, because it's going to be something heinous. They're going to manufacture and push this war of all against all until we start seeing more serious blood in the streets and we start seeing more serious ideological clashes. And it's going to make people like us look crazy, because they're going to be like, well, you're criticizing the overall system. All we need to do is focus on the fascists. Look at what these people are doing. Look at what they're doing. It's going to get really fucking hairy.
Well, it is weird that we've all been playing cyberpunk over the last like couple of months, and the all the headlines and stuff we're talking about is like corpos, like fucking silencing the president and like banning him from all of these public spaces and all these things. You're like, dude, this is actually fucking lame. This is not fun at all.
Like, people think cyberpunk future is fun. It's not fun. It's pretty shit.
It's dull. It's
and you don't
dull.
Get to walk around outside in mirror shades because coronavirus. So you're in your house
Yeah, and if you did, let's just be clear. Like, let's just say you go out there dressed like they do in Cyberpunk.
You might get beaten up.
Yeah, you might get beaten up. That's a good way of putting it, yeah.
But at least you can only play it in first person just like Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
To be fair, there would be significantly less bugs, though.
And you're not likely to just, like, you know, hook up with someone by, like, following the menu.
Yeah, yeah, you get, like, five or six different items that unlock the hookup.
I think that's what people want.
Oh, I retrieved this from there, and now we can have some dangerous quote unquote sex.
Oh my god, there was that one scene where they were having sex in the weird, like,
in the tank,
and it was supposed to be like edgy and sexy, but it just looked absolutely excruciatingly disgusting.
Yeah.
Like having all these machines like plugged, like that's not sexy.
Like, Angie was behind me, and I was doing the Pan Am storyline. Sorry for spoilers, anyone. You can fuck Pan Am in the tank. I'm sure you can all see it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna watch it because let's just see all the fuss is about. And then she's like, Jake, are you watching? Oh my god! Oh my god! Turn it off! What are you doing? I was just like,
at least wait until I've gone to bed to fucking jack off. I'm joking. No, because it was like
it's like people who like watch The Matrix and aren't like horrified by it. Instead, they're really turned on.
Yeah, yeah. fuck me up, daddy. No, there was this weird. It was so weird because it was like this. They were plugged into like machines, and it's like there's nothing organic or beautiful or sexual. I mean, maybe it gets other people off, but like the organicness of sex, the fact that it's two beasts like rolling around, that's like what I find sexy about.
And I'm not going to, I mean, obviously there's room for cyber hogs and cyber peens in there, but I was kind of interested to see if there was some cyber puss going on in there, like, but there's nothing. It's just like, you know, it's regular.
Smooth like Barbie doll, like.
There's no real sex in anything anymore. I don't know if you've noticed that about like movies and shit. Yeah, sex is just fucking gone. It's just done.
It's sort of the lib femme, like awful ethos. But it's also because we live in an anti-libidinal society. That's the fact of
antisocial society.
Yeah, we live in an antisocial, anti-libidinal society where our libidinal urges are sort of siphoned off into these like boring, shitty places.
Into the market.
Yeah, into the market. So sex in art suffers, sex in real life suffers. And like the whole menu thing, I think a lot of people want that, like some kind of weird game menu that
ensures the hookup. Did you see that video,
hookup.
That fucking lady?
Can we please normalize intimacy without commitment?
Fine. It's like whatever.
I want to cuddle all night with a boy. I want him to compliment me. I want to compliment him. I want to hold hands. I want to
go on
dates together. I want to like text them, Snapchat them all day, every day, but then I also want to be able to disappear. Like, I want to ghost them for a week and not have them wonder why I'm doing that. Like, I want a boyfriend, but not the relationship.
What a psycho.
I want to hop on, hop off, pop in, pop out. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that needs to be normal.
I want to turn a person into a commodity for my own personal gratification.
Exactly. That's fucking exactly what it is.
It's so fucked up.
I want a relationship robot I can turn off for a fucking week.
Yeah. It doesn't. Your feelings don't matter.
What I want is to hop on, hop off, pop in, pop out. But what I need is serious medical attention.
Yes.
And
yes.
Like medication.
Where do you find all of these fucking BPD hoes, Peter? Like, I can't handle.
The internet is full of them. It's actually crazy.
It is full. It's literally, this is what gets attention on the, this is what people on the internet fucking want. They fucking see this shit and they're just like, yep, that's what I want. Look at this. They post
like,
that
I
want
to fucking treat another human being like a commodity. Like that, think about it. Because that's the whole argument that's always.
That is the, no, that is it right
it's
there. That's
up.
The video game.
Like,
she is a gamer.
Yeah, she's a fucking gamer. Fucking, and that, it's disgusting because that's the same argument that's sort of made about sex robots or whatever. Of, oh, it doesn't harm anyone, blah, blah, blah. But think about how it would change you as a person to relate to something that looks and feels fully human, but that you don't have to give the dignity or duty of like, how would that change you? How would that change your sexuality? How would that change how you view sexuality?
I'm going to go ahead and say,
probably make you a pretty cool guy.
That's not even the worst case scenario, though. This woman wants it to be another human being that she treats that way.
But only because those robots aren't available, because I feel like these people...
I don't know.
I feel like these people, if robots were available, they would go there. The only reason that they're saying that they want a human to do that now is because the fucking robot can't simulate things as well as they would want them to simulate.
The uncanny valley still exists.
Yeah, she can't afford a fuck machine like Belle Delphine, basically. Is what we're getting at here.
She saw all the bugs in Cyberpunk. She's like, nah, let's just try to get humans to act like this instead.
But it's really disgusting because that's sort of the neoliberal sort of mentality. Everybody is a rugged individual consumer, and it's the war of all against all, and people, things, emotions, everything is a commodity, and everything exists for your personal gratification. And when you have a bunch of people who are conditioned to think that way, working within the realm of politics, well, of course they're going to fucking collude with the FBI to rid themselves of political opponents. Of course they're going to be censorious. Of course they're going to want to push anything that makes them uncomfortable out of the public domain. Of course due process isn't going to matter to them.
No.
This is what we're dealing
with.
The
FBI, the police, all of these things, like, you can't be critical of them in a way that actually reflects like what they represent systemically speaking. They're just a group of individuals that are either good or bad. And if they're attacking protesters in Ferguson, that means police are bad. And systemic racism exists because we have racist people occupying positions of power.
Yeah.
But if they're attacking fascists, that means the police are good.
Exactly.
Like, it has nothing to do with the fact that this is a state apparatus that has a specific program that it always fucking follows one way or the other. It doesn't fucking matter to them. They don't see that. They see all, it's just team sports. Like you said last week, it's literally, is this individual on my team or not? Mm-hmm. And if they are on my team, then the power that they wield, I want them to have.
Mm-hmm. And it's devoid of principles. It's devoid of any sort of idea of any sort of greater good, which is also what I said last week. And we have to take a stand like against it. We do. Like, anyone out there who fucking feels the way we do, you're not alone. You don't have to join in the sort of milieu of madness if you don't want to. You're allowed to take a stand and to stand by your principles and convictions, but it will make you very unpopular and people are going to probably send you death threats.
And you're going to need to ask other people who are anti-establishment but don't necessarily have the means to make content themselves to maybe like send you a buck or two via Patreon or some shit.
Yes. Please do that because it helps us a lot.
That's like, we do not have the institutional backing here. We do not have the power. The power in this society is the money. So if we can, you know, have you guys kind of help us a little bit in that respect, I promise you we're not using it to like fucking further the fucking agendas of the capitalists and the state. We're against that stuff here.
You're sounding so much like a modern Dutch, Peter. We need money. I got a plan.
That I am. I am the fucking modern Dutch. That's who the fuck I am. Fucking Red Dead Redemption, bitch. Fuck yes. Because you know what? I'm not going to be fucking Marston fucking turning tails later on. I am not fucking doing that.
I'm just laughing because I want to feel included, but you guys need to like let me know what the reference is.
Dutch is basically the leader of the Dutch Vanderlind is the leader of the Vanderlind gang. It's obviously Peter, and they're the gang in Red Dead Redemption that you follow along the storyline with
the original
and the second one as well. And like his main catchphrase is like, "I need money. I have a plan." That is essentially our Patreon.
Okay, so
pitch.
The plot of the first Red Dead Redemption is one of his gang members. You are one of his gang members who, in order to make a deal to protect his family, because the FBI sort of takes his family hostage, he makes a deal with the FBI to hunt down all of the members of this fucking gang. Like, Marston, like, as far as I'm concerned, that's fucking bread tube.
Wow.
Whereas Arthur Morgan is the guy you play when he, like, Dutch and the gang are, like, in the heat of things as, like, you know, the decline of things before John is sent off on that. So he's still a good guy.
So in conclusion, we are really cowboys, but not the gay kind of cowboys. We're the communist kind of cowboys. So give us... visit our saloon, lowsociety.net.
Well, and drop us a suggestion box note or a fucking question. I got us a cheeky question here.
Mm-hmm.
On the lowsocietypodcast@gmail.com. If you want to pop us in with a cheeky question here, I've got a question from a listener with a last name. I reckon I can actually have a fucking stab at. Oh, yeah. Okay,
yeah,
well,
just
I'm
do first
gonna...
name.
Oh, yeah,
so
okay.
We're
yeah,
just
we're
for
gonna...
privacy
okay.
reasons, just keep
for
it
for privacy
first
reasons.
Names.
Okay, so Tyler, we got your question. It's, hey there, guys. Firstly, I want to thank you all for all the free and quality content, even Jake's Conspiracy Corner. What do you mean, even Jake's Conspiracy Corner? I think you mean especially Jake's Conspiracy Corner. Hello. Hello. You've definitely provided something that helps to keep me thinking about things different, like week to week. Anyway, niceties aside, here's my question. I felt like you hit the nail pretty well on the head when you talked about right libertarians finding left populism through COVID, because that's exactly the situation I found myself in last year. What advice do you have for someone like myself who has re-examined and radically adjusted their beliefs, but feels disillusioned in where to go? How does someone who is new to class-based analysis cultivate the ability to engage in it? Thanks and best wishes, James. All right, well, your Gmail tag is very misleading, James. So I'm sorry about that. But yeah, thanks for your question.
Could you maybe make a theory about it, Jake, that maybe involves a conspiracy?
Yeah, let me think about that. Where to go when you're disillusioned? I mean, this is the place you go when you're disillusioned. This is low society. This is like our Discord and hanging out with other miscreants. That's what you do for sure. But I mean, I don't know. As a piece of advice, what do we all think for that? I mean,
well, I think we kind of need to organize some kind of a political party that is less concerned with elections, perhaps.
I also think that as a newcomer to class-based analysis, like, spend time on theory as much as you can, yeah. Even if it's just audiobooks. Like, try and sort of enrich yourself with theory, and really sort of engage with it from your own comfort and your own perspective. Talk to people, remain open-minded, never be uncritical, because your critical faculties are important and nobody should ever override that. Try to stay away from hero worship and thought leaders.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I would say to anyone who's new to sort of from escaping some form of ideology or a political perspective. Like, you want to make sure that this is your personal kind of journey, and that you're understanding things from your perspective, because people like that make the best quote-unquote comrades, people who are actually genuinely just on their own sort of trajectory intellectually and aren't just sort of looking for a new milieu to get lost in and to climb up in. But yeah, just read, and also engage like in real life as much as you can. Like, if you have a trade union that you can join, if you're you know, able to do anything that's like engaged politically, then do that.
In terms of reading theory and stuff, I have some links to some good study guides on that can sort of help digest a lot of that, because a lot of it is not super digestible. I'll add that to the info.
Wow, thank you guys for listening to this episode of Low Society. We have a bonus episode coming for you guys soon. I've just touched down in the UK and we're working around schedules, so we're gonna have one recorded Sunday, which we'll get out to you guys, and then we'll be back on schedule properly from next week. Thank you guys so much for listening, and yeah, support us, check us out wherever we are. We love you. Bye.
Peace out.
Bye.